Our scripture reading this morning from the New Testament, from the Gospel according to John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. Kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. I tell you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy, and your joy wholly mature. This is my command. Love one another the way I loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants, because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends, because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. You didn't choose me, remember. I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit. Fruit that won't spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he gives you. But remember the root command. Love one another. Here ends our scripture reading. May it be that God speak to us through Scripture this very morning. Dear friends, if I say the word Lucy, I think all around my age will know exactly what's following. There's going to be a Charlie Brown somewhere in there. And on this occasion, Lucy was standing with her arms folded and a resolute expression on her face, while Charlie Brown was pleading, "Lucy, Lucy, you must be more loving. You must love more. This world really needs love. You have to let yourself love to make this world a better place in which to live." And at that point, Lucy whirls around angrily, causing Charlie Brown to do a backwards flip and screams at him, "Look, blockhead, the world I love, it is people I cannot stand." Well, maybe it should be the other way around. We'll get to that. Some years ago, here in Florida, it was hurricane season. One of the churches was totally destroyed. And by the time that the TV cameras arrived, many of the church members had already gathered, searching through the rubble to see if there was anything left that was worth saving. Horrible thought that the hurricane can come and just woo, and gone is your church. One woman stood outside their totally destroyed church, and she was just looking and looking. So one of the reporters noticed and came up to her and asked her to say something, what she was feeling. And at that point she looked straight into the TV camera. She said, "Well, we have lost our church building. But you know what? The real church is still here. And we have much to do." That woman spoke from the heart. She knew what being a church is all about. In that moment, it was a moment of darkness, with nothing else to fall back upon. This woman summarized the heart of our faith. The darker it gets, the brighter they shine. Now, friends, brothers and sisters, for Jesus, love was not an optional accessory that some of his followers might decide upon in case they so preferred. Jesus demonstrated and taught love as a foundation of true faith. And indeed, when you read the Bible does not say that God has love. The Bible simply says, God is love. I know in the church where I was first ordained in 68, there was a cloth in front. And the words, God is love, was embroidered on there. And I'll remember it all my life. And since that time I realized that's what our faith is about. Something we need to understand. God is love. Jesus taught love. Not as a suggestion, not as a good idea, not as a byproduct of anything else. He said, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. And by this everyone will know that you are my disciples. Let me repeat that. By this, talking about life, love. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now this means that love for one another is as much a sign to the outside world of who and what being a Christian is about, as much as the bread and the wine prepared for us today. There is no if, no but, no maybe. The message is, if we, also in this place, love one another, the world will know that this is truly a church of Jesus Christ. They will notice our love for one another, and they will admire it, and they will desire it, and they will heed our calls and invitations. And where that happens, when love begins to speak, people begin to sense a need. I've seen it happen elsewhere. I've seen it happen here. When people hear the language of love, they get attracted. And there are some pews that may need the message of love to get them filled. Because if we do not love one another, if we are negative about some of us, if we begin to ignore one another, if we hold grudges against one another, if we fail to love, also this church will fail to be a true church of Jesus Christ. And the future will indeed be uncertain. In spite of everything else we do or say, without love, our faith, our church, our best intentions will definitely fail. We are talking about the heart, the very heart of Christianity. Someone described love as follows. First, the question, what is love? It is silence when your words would hurt. It is patience when your neighbor is curt. It is deafness when the scandal flows. It is thoughtfulness for another's woes. It is promptness when stern duty calls. It is courage when misfortune falls. There is a sad reality behind this. The reality is that so many talk about love without ever allowing love to truly invade and change them from the inside out. Actually, also in our American society, people are still doing terrible things to one another. It was a dark period in American history when the American nation was at war with itself that Martin Luther King said, "We must agree to love and live together as brothers and sisters, or perish together as fools. We must agree to love and live together as brothers and sisters, or perish together as fools. In a popular film of about more than a decade ago, The Color Purple, Oprah Winfrey plays the role of Sophia. And this Sophia in the movie was in a dark and a troubling time in her life. And at that time, many people reached out to her. Poor Sophia experienced so many kindnesses that it actually saved her and changed her life. And later in the film, looking back on those kindnesses, she said, "You know what? It was then that I knew that there is a God." God introduces God's self in you and me. And if you and I become a conduit, witness to our relationship to God, it flows and it shows. And poor Sophia, when people treated her that way, she came to the conclusion, there is a God. There is a God indeed. For her, it was convincing evidence that God exists and that God is love. You know that in an unloving world, there are still many people who really do care about others. I think all of us have a witness in this regard. I know for myself, coming from other side of the world, the early ministry in Africa, later in Europe, and later here, different languages, different cultures, different ways of doing. But you know that love is universal. It speaks only one language, a language of its own. My younger days, I once had the opportunity to serve communion to a group of bushmen in the heart of the Kalahari Desert in Africa. That day there was no wine. We had to use some sodas that we had with us. There were a few cookies. And there under a huge tree, we celebrated our unity in Jesus Christ. And that's the one communion I will never forget. There are people who care. God's people are anywhere, everywhere. We believe that love originated from the very heart, the very being, the very substance of God. And with every act of loving kindness to another, we witness to a world so often in darkness that God exists and that God's, the nature of God, is love. Jesus put it this way: by this people shall know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. You know, this makes it a little bit tough, because some of us think, well, if we talk about love, that's about it. People hear the stories about love all day long and it doesn't touch them this much. It's only when they begin to experience the warmth of a burning love for God and for God's people in our hearts that our message gets substance, that our lives begin to change, and that we begin to do things differently, because love rules and teaches us what God wants us to be in this world of ours. Brothers, sisters in Christ, we've come from all over. Many of you from other parts of America. And here is a table prepared for you, also for me today, and this table is now ready. See, prepared the elements of bread and wine. This table is set for our celebration and remembrance of the love that has already changed our personal lives and the lives of countless millions of people here and across the world. Oh Jesus, in this broken bread, we observe your love for us. We celebrate that. In this cup, O Lord, we celebrate forgiveness through your name. Teach us. Teach us around your table. Teach us to love, O God. Break now the bread of life, Savior, to me. As you once broke the loaves beside the sea, beyond the sacred page, I seek you, Lord. My spirit yearns for you, O loving word. Amen.